Hey there. Just want to say thanks for tuning in, and just want to pray for us before we get started today in God's Word, Romans 1. I'm just going to pray for our time. Father, I just want to thank you for giving us your Word, giving us this Bible that we can look to and read and get an understanding of who you are and who you want us to be. I just pray for our time together. I just pray that you would, in our hearts, show us something about ourselves. Show us who you want us to be. Give us something, God, that we can know that you are real, you are with us, and you do want something for our lives. I want to start in Romans, and my hope for this time is not that you would just listen to this and let this be your time with God, but that you would go and read the scripture on your own, find your own meaning, find your own emphasis, find what you think God is telling you. And then maybe this could help and be just supplemental to what you feel you're getting out of your time with God. Or maybe, again, this could just be a catalyst, this could be an igniter to your time with God, but that your time in the Bible, reading what he says, is the most important thing for you. Because when I was a college freshman, that's when what God said started to matter most in my life. And I started in this book of Romans, and so that's where we're going to start. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. No, just take up way too much of both of our time. But I'm just going to kind of highlight some of the things that stand out to me this time that I read it through. Not that these things are all universal and are the only things to get out of it, but these are the things that, as I sit down and I read it myself, and as I take it in and I try and ask God, what stands out, that these are the things this time through that stand out for me. So, the first thing that stands out to me is right in verse 2, where Paul's writing, and Paul talks about this promise. Paul says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And just thinking about a promise, thinking about how often I need a promise in my life. I need something that I can take to the bank. I need something that I can fall back on when things are not working out very well. Some of the times I need the most help, I need the promise the most, aren't even necessarily the big things, the big disasters. I think the things that I need a promise the most are just in each day. All of the little things that add up, that go wrong, just that Murphy's Law kind of thing. It's like the Murphy's Law principle, you know, the what can go wrong will go wrong law. It's not that you just, you know, are in the bathroom and you drop, you know, your contact solution or your reading glasses or whatever. It's not like they just stop right in front of you, pick them back up and put them on. It's like they hit the toothbrush holder. And then all the toothbrushes fly out. And they don't just fall into the bottom of the sink. They fly off the counter. And then they don't just fall on the floor. They fall on the floor and then they roll behind the toilet, the grossest place in the entire room that they could have gone. That's where they end up. And they knock the other things off the table. And you trip as you go over because your belt loop hooks onto the little cabinet hardware. It's not just the one thing that goes wrong. It always seems like, or it always feels like, it's probably not in all truth and all honesty, but it always feels like, it always seems like every little thing that can go wrong does go wrong. And those little things, they add up. And in me, it turns me into this snapping turtle-like creature, this thing that just wants to be all alone and sits on the bottom of the pond or sits in the mud, sits in the bottom of the river and just buries in, doesn't want to be around people, and just snaps at anything that wants to come close. And I see how in my heart, I need a promise. I need a promise from something bigger than me. I need a promise from God that even when everything seems to be going wrong, there is good news that I can fall back on. There is good news that things are going to be okay. And I think, you know, I think why it's always called the good news is we need something new to come into our life each day to kind of change the course of how our day is going. We need to open something up. We need that news that, you know what, things are going to be okay. Paul then goes on in verse 17 and elsewhere, but verse 17 is what stuck out to me, to explain what this good news is. It says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This idea of what is good news, it's good news that we are made right. We are made right in God's sight. We are made right by faith, not anything that we can do, not anything that we can work. That's the whole journey one, earner to heir piece, that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to earn anything. And Paul says that should be good news to us. Why should that be good news to us? I think it's good news to me because there are any number of examples, if I'm willing to admit it. Most of the time, I'm not. Most of the time, I'd prefer to look at myself as pretty close to perfect. I prefer to look at myself at, you know what, yeah, sure, I mess up, but most of the time, man, most of the time I'm doing pretty stinking good, especially compared to other people. But when I'm not in such a self-righteous mood, when I'm not in a place where I'm just looking at everybody else and not focusing on myself, when my heart is soft and when I am open to hearing what God says, I can't deny that I'm not who I want to be. I can't deny that I'm not happy with who I am. It's funny sometimes because I think about my personal journey. I think about where I'm at. I think about when I come to talk with God. I think about sitting down with quiet times with God. And so much of the time, I come to God because I still want Him to transform me. And not in like an honorable way, not in a way that I think He intends, but it's like I want God to fix all my stuff so that I don't need Him anymore. It's like I want God to take these flaws, and I want transformation, not to bring glory to who God is, not to bring glory and not to bring honor to the power that He has as God, not to bring honor to that ability He has to transform me. I want transformation, not for God's sake, not to honor Him, but because I just don't want to screw up again. Because when I do screw up, I hate it. I hate myself. I hate that I can't deny that I'm who I think I should be on my own. I think that I can earn it. I think that I have enough in me to do this on my own if I could just try hard enough. The good news is that God makes us right, not us. It's not me. It's God. And to think about the opposite of that, to think about the converse of that, to think about not being right in God's sight, is where Paul continues to write about. He continues to go on in 18 through 32 about God's anger at sin, about what sin does, about how sin has played out in humanity, what it does in our hearts, what a sinful heart looks like. He goes on to describe exactly what it's like to not be right in God's sight. Most of the time, I feel right, you know? Maybe not even in the spiritual sense, but and maybe this is just me, but a lot of the time, I feel I am more right than the person next to me. I consider myself more important. I consider myself more knowledgeable. I consider myself more influential, more charismatic, just more right than that other person. And that's not the truth of my soul without God. To think about not being right, to think about falling on that other side of the fence, to think about not having any good news, to think about deserving God's wrath, deserving God's anger, to living a life apart from God, it brings hopelessness. Without God, I don't have anything really good, and I forget that. I forget that I didn't give myself this house. I forget that I didn't give myself my family. It's like I take everything for granted about what it means to be on God's good side, to be in His favor. And to think about, that's only possible not by me. I'm not made right in God's sight by me. I'm made right by the good news, and the good news being this, that is, it is through that faith in Jesus. It is through God's action. It is through God's involvement. It is through God's decision to send Jesus to this earth that whoever has faith in him, whoever believes that he really was who he said he was, that if I can believe that, I can be on God's good side. That I don't deserve eternal separation from God. We are not right in God's sight unless we are spoken for by Jesus. And luckily, we are claimed by Jesus. In John 17, Jesus is having this time with his people, with the people that his disciples, those that have put their trust in him, those that believe that he was who he said he was and still is today. And Jesus is praying for them. Because it goes back to that promise. It goes back to that good news. It goes back to sometimes you just need a win. Sometimes you just need something to work out. And Jesus says, this is my prayer. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me. He's saying, my prayer is not for these people who don't believe in me. My prayer right now, just the specific prayer, but this prayer right now is, God, those you have given me, this prayer is for them. This prayer, my heart, the direction of my heart right now is turned toward those who follow me. All who are mine belong to you, Father, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in the world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. And what Jesus is saying that. And you can go to that. That's John 17, 9 through 12. It's Jesus saying, God, it's through your initiative. God, Father, you sent me to these people to reconnect them. It was your initiative. They didn't deserve this. They have lived lives where they have been turning away from you all throughout the history of humanity. We all turn away from you, but you sent me to come to them and bring this message of redemption, to bring this good news of reconciliation, to bring this good news that there can be peace between heaven and earth through believing in me. So God, protect them. God, be with them. And as Paul in Romans continues to talk and continues to write letters, and how he starts off this letter to the people, the Christians in Rome, those who are following Jesus in Rome, he's saying, there is this promise. There is this good news. Jesus was who he said he was. He meant what he said. He cares. He's still there. He always will be. His heart is turned towards those that choose to believe in him. And because of those that choose to believe in him, the Father's heart now sees all of us that believe in Jesus as being right, as being okay, as being not at war with heaven. Because without God, without Jesus, our hearts are turned towards our own desires. Our hearts are turned towards what we want. We don't think about others. Or if we do, there's a lot of selfish motives underneath the way we act. And it's only by this good news, it's only by this faith that we have, that we're able to re-enter that connection and accept that initiation by God to have a restored relationship. And that's the good news that I think Romans 1 introduces, and that's where we're going to leave it at today. Just pray, Father, just pray for our hearts, pray for our time. Pray that we'd all accept that good news that you've given us through Jesus Christ, to look at how it matters in each day that we have, and that we wouldn't just stop here listening, we wouldn't stop just journaling at home by ourselves, but we would actually live out trusting in that promise that you have for us, and trusting that, you know, things can go badly throughout a day, even through the little things, but you're there for us, and we can trust in that promise. It's your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.